That's what I saw as being possibly the motive. Because there is a sort of an intuitive consciousness of all this if you're not a part of a self-anointed master race. And that's who it is that we're talking about when we're talking about the need for security. Go down to one of these LA gated communities and see who it is that's being secured in from what. When they're talking about our security, they're not talking about us. They're talking about them and securing themselves from us. Yeah. Us got more in common with your average Iraqi, Palestinian, Indo-Chinese, and so on than we ever had with a George Bush or a Dick Cheney. And that's simply a natural fact. And there are a whole lot of white people that fit that description of being people of color, too. You can ask people in Appalachia about that one. Okay, Scotch-Irish, internal colonized, coal miners sent down and expendable too. So just because you're white, don't be foolish enough to think that they won't use you like toilet paper. It comes expedient to keeping their quality of life up to tune, okay? You can't get people across the Rio Grande, they're going to be turning you into their gardeners, okay? I slipped there. That's actually Rio Bravo, isn't it? And Rio Bravo is not just a John Wayne movie. That's somebody else's name for that river, and that's somebody else. Well, now. Understand the nature of it. As long as you're acting this way in the world, or this country is acting this way in the world and doing so in your name and you're not responding, you're going to be subject to this kind of attack, and that's a natural phenomenon. Anyone placed in that position would respond the same way. Hey, the guys have been trying to shoot me. Oh, yeah, they canceled that one up there in Hamilton on serious grounds. The JTTF decided they couldn't secure that one. That was in New York State, and that was at the front end of this thing. And they just validated my point all to hell and gone. I said, what you do is you have people either in direct proximity that you love, that you revere, that are part of your life, or that symbolically fulfill that role, and you have them slaughtered violently. And then you have people that you associate with those who slaughter them, speak of them in a way that seems to devaluate, demean, degrade, dehumanize them to the point of, oh, I don't know, let's just pick a term out of, you probably heard this one on CNN, collateral damage. You compound the agony of their loss with that kind of behavior, and they will try to kill you. And good Americans will do that just as fast as Arabs. And those good Americans in New York proved the point. They felt that I had demeaned, even dehumanized, those they loved, although that sounds like I'm laying it on the families, and to my knowledge, the families weren't involved. It was people acting in the name of the families who were attempting to kill me, doing exactly what it was those Arabs had done, right down to the point of acting in the names of the victims. Much has been made of the fact that nobody on those aircraft was actually Iraqi, so how could they be responding for the deaths of the Iraqi children? And the point was, you don't have to be in that kind of direct proximity. If you've got a shred of humanity and children are being eradicated, people are being killed for things that you cannot countenance, you will respond if there's no alternative made available to you. If there is no sort of cognitive dissonance in the perpetrator society about the perpetration of the deed, you will kill them. Simple equation. Now we've got an understanding of the substance of terrorism. In order to be able to deal with any phenomenon, you first have to be able to understand it. That's my explanation of it. You can accept it, you can reject it, but that's what that articulation was about. Having defined the phenomenon, the question then, what do you do about it? Because there was all that hoo-ha about security. Okay, and the security is going to be hanged on an analysis of the events that you can counterpose to my own that I just handed you. You heard it at length. Now, let me give you the other side verbatim. Well, they did it because they're evil. They hate freedom. They're evil. They hate freedom. They hate freedom. They're evil. Evil. Freedom. Hate it. No. Yeah. Sound bites. Absolutely devoid of anything analytically useful at all. And from there, you're going to get a security system that works on the basis of what? Invading other countries and multiplying the degree of resentment, the pain, the anguish. Continue to refer to those who were slaughtered as collateral damage. Talking about their deaths and immiseration as if it was of a benefit to them rather than you. That's going to solve the problem. You're going to do it by greater degree of firepower, the cloning out of Delta units and special operations groups and proliferating them around the planet, by curtailing rights and liberties here and pounding tweezers at airports. You remember the last time those terrorists got on a plane and got the stewardess down and were tweezing her eyebrows until she screamed for mercy and said, "I'll fly the plane into the building. Just stop tweezing me." Charged a guy down in, somewhere around Orange County, an Asian guy that was pissed off at his boss, built a pipe bomb. They hauled him in and charged him with possession of a weapon of mass destruction. I'm not making this up. Going absolutely Looney Tunes on the home front. More SWAT teams, more cops running around wearing black military uniforms with boots. More firepower than the average city police force than most third world armies. Licensing torture. Gitmo and its camps and camps you've never heard of in about 30 countries around the world. And on and on and on. You want to hang your security on that because it comes out of that funny little analysis about their evil and hate freedom. So let's see. To secure ourselves against that evil that hates freedom, we'll abolish freedom here and then every place else as a progressive gesture, okay, and turn the whole thing into this absolutely lockstep, regimented, orderly conflagration in the name of... Fill in the blank for me here, somebody. We got a bright audience. These are all students. In the name of what? Yeah, right. You want to see how that works? I got a real good idea for you. Get in your long-distance line and call a random Israeli because they got the world's most highly developed security state of that type. They've got borders much shorter and easily defensible than you have in North America for the United States, and they got a relatively homogeneous population. And the last time I heard, you got 14-year-old kids walking in with bundles of dynamite strapped to their body and blowing Israelis right out the window of their cafes. You want to hang your hat for security on that? Well, if so, leave me out. And leave my kids and the rest of my family out too. Go ahead and give it a roll. And don't complain in the aftermath. Or you can try a different way. What would the different way look like? Since you know the nature of the phenomenon generating the response, maybe security would be to convince those on the receiving end of American benevolence out there in the world that you suddenly don't devalue and demean and degrade them as a matter of consciousness, and that you actually would treat them as human beings rather than dehumanizing, probably indict people who refer to them as collateral damage, that actually what it is that the United States has defined itself in the world as being is the opposite of what it will be in the future. Maybe if you could convince them of that, they wouldn't be planning to fly planes into your buildings and have you jumping 1,000 feet on fire. Maybe. But how would you do that? Because the United States has always proceeded on the noblest of rhetoric. I mean, my God, I wish I'd written some of that prose. The gulf between the rhetoric and the reality has always been as wide as the Pacific Ocean, but the rhetoric has sounded good. Probably more rhetoric is not going to get it. I mean, I got the interim chancellor, DeStefano, my own university, demanding that I come in with a proof of pedigree card and established before a board of racial purity, apparently the fact of my identity, while he writes glowing editorials that are published in the press about the need to combat racism on campus. Now, put those two pieces together and see what kind of cognitive dissonance you get. That's the same guy in the same week. And that's emblematic of the whole. So, no, more rhetoric's not going to get it. How might you actually do it? Well, I had a really, really radical suggestion. This is what drives the Republicans crazy. I mean, they just go frothing at the mouth, scratching like cats climbing right up the wall. Because here's the radical crux of my proposition of how to ensure security for the American public and a whole bunch of other people while we're at it. Let's pretend, just for a moment, because that allows for consciousness. If you got the consciousness, you got the possibility of concretizing that consciousness in terms of action. Let's just pretend for a moment altogether that the United States of America and the government thereof were required, just like everyone and every other entity on the planet, to obey the law. Man, now there's a radical concept, flaming anti-American. Government of the United States might have to obey the law, obey the law, obey the law. What's it called? This is a command, a cry, an appeal, an insistence. Take all those words, stack them up, and then put them in front or behind or above law enforcement. I demand law enforcement, beginning with the big laws on the big entities first and then having a little trickle-down effect from there. What are you talking about, obey the law? We got no smoking signs plastered on every flat surface in California. And we can tell the government officials, I mean, cops are not even allowed to smoke in their cars anymore. Nobody, government officials included, except Arnold Schwarzenegger in the governor's office with his cigars, smokes in any public place. We're all obeying the law. No, I'm not talking about these petty regulatory things that they pass off as being laws. That's what they've got you indoctrinated to look at law as being, these little things that regulate every waking and sleeping moment of your life. Buckle up, it's the law. No smoking, it's the law. Cross between the lines, it's the law. No, let's try the one that says the United States cannot lawfully engage in military action abroad without the approval of the United Nations Security Council. Let's start with that one. Let's try the one that says non-proliferation of nuclear weapons applies to the United States as well as it applies to North Korea, Iran, and Iraq. So University of California and Lawrence Livermore Lab are going to have to look for another place to attract revenue than in producing a new generation of bunker buster munitions. Let's consider the depleted uranium ammunition is nuclear weapons, okay, because it has the same effect. Not the Big Bang, but it just proliferates radiation and somebody else is paying the consequences because when the United States is done using their armor-piercer stuff in their homeland, they have to stay there and live with it. But there's more than a few U.S. troops that have found out what that does to you, too. They call it the Gulf War Syndrome. Oh, yeah, they can't figure out what that is, just like they couldn't figure out what the effects of dioxin were on U.S. troops, the stuff that we were exposed to in Agent Orange, it took them 30 years of denying it had any effect. Meanwhile, they can tell you within a tenth of a decimal point how many people are going to die of environmental tobacco smoke exposure and worldwide over the next year. And if you believe that, you come see me about this junk car I got, okay? Because you're going to pay big bucks because it's a collector's item, I'm sure. Oh, yeah. I notice the laughter in California goes off when you start talking about that. All right, you got people living down there in Los Angeles where I don't know if you actually keep track of the environmental data from LA, but the atmospheric conditions are some so that you're going to take a newborn baby, never expose them to tobacco smoke, okay, and in 2 weeks going to have a lifetime exposure to about 70 different atmospheric toxins, saturation point. And in that cesspool of toxins, they're going to worry about poor people's social habits as being a class one or class A or whatever they call it, carcinogen, and abolish social space. Oh, yeah.